something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT,
I tell Jer about my trip home from Winnipeg.
We talk about my trip in Costa Rica.
And guess who's been nominated for a Canadian Comedy Award, buds? That's all coming up right now on TNT.
Yes!
You're back, bud!
I'm back.
I haven't talked to you in so long. I missed you, Jeremy Taggart.
I missed you too, bud. It's been a couple weeks.
Because as the buds it's know, been... we banked a couple episodes so we could roll them out. We kept to the Monday drops while you were gone. How was it? How was your trip?
Well, it was amazing. Annalise was got right back on track. She was healthy as a horse. That her first flight and Jack's first flight, and John was only one when he went on his last airplane. So that was a treat for them.
What was that like?
Well, we flew from Toronto to Houston and then Houston to San Jose in Costa Rica. And it was, we had like a, that ice storm hit literally the morning that we were leaving.
Yeah.
So our flight, I think it was an early afternoon flight, and they started canceling flights just as we got in the air. And we had to de-ice our plane for about 45 minutes before we left. So there was a lot of questioning whether we were even going to get out. But once we got out, it was a smooth sailing. The kids were great. They were just sitting there, hanging out, enjoying it.
So what was I got donkey fisted by the ice storm, by the way, which I'll tell you in a bit. But what was it like seeing air travel through their eyes?
It was amazing because they enjoyed it so much. Yeah. They're watching movies. They're, you know, eating the food like it's different food. And you know, when you see other people that fly all the time, and you almost rarely see people that don't fly.
Right.
On flights, really. So, but they didn't act up. They didn't get any issues. Jack had one issue on landing in Houston. He didn't realize he had to swallow, so his ears would unclog.
Oh, right? Right.
So Lisa was giving them all gum, and that worked. But once we got to San Jose, it was awesome. The weather was so hot. It was like 30 degrees pretty much the whole week. Like 28 and 30. So a steamy, hot, sleeping all kind of in the same room because we had two beds and like a couple of mattresses. It was, and the beautiful place right on the ocean. And Lisa's brother was there. And his flight was, he missed his flight for 2 days because he was flying out of Ottawa.
Oh.
A day after, so Clay didn't make it for 2 days, and I had to only spent 5 days down there, which is awful to think about. That's just such a little amount of time.
Yeah,
because it was beautiful every day. It was sunny. It only rained for about a half an hour one night, and then 20 minutes another night. So like it couldn't have been better weather. All we did was just go out and do stuff. We went to Rainmaker Park and swam in waterfalls and hiked, and it was amazing. It was perfect. We got to go to the little Parita small towns. They got to see the culture and meet the wonderful people. Everybody's so nice there. It's like Canadianity South, I gotta say, Costa awesome. Rica.
For sure.
I know when especially in our climate in the winter, if it's been a rough one, as soon as we get to somewhere warmer, you can actually see the difference. Like the girls start skipping.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that in your kids? They were just like different people.
Yeah, it's like summertime body moves.
Yeah.
Everybody's just feeling it. And it's such a great place to go. We went down to Jaco for a day, and the views and the vistas off the cliffs into the cove there are gorgeous. And we went down to Parita was a cool small town. We went to I don't know the name of the bridge, but it's just after Jaco where the crocodiles are that I spoke about on the last episode.
Yeah, I saw your video.
Yeah, man. See how crazy those things
were? And the maps are just going wild.
Just hanging. That's Whoa. Where they chill.
Oh, and that's like where that math could drop something on its head, and it was like,
glued. That's, yeah, that, yes, that's the spot, for sure. So I gotta say, if you're gonna ever have a vacation, go down there anytime, because it's a beautiful place. You know, you don't necessarily have to go to the resort and sit there and see Europeans in Speedos for a week. You know, you get more of a vibe going out and seeing the country and the culture and the fresh fruit, the mango trees right outside of the house. Parrots. There was a groups of parrots that were coming and going, flocks of parrots. To see parrots out free and how big they are and how amazingly they... Oh, dude,
I thought you were saying carrots. It's like flocks of carrots. Crazy.
Yeah, no.
I thought you meant like clown or like snowman noses.
No, we're like just sitting in the pool and looking up, and there's like these parrots fly right to the almond tree in the backyard, and they start crushing almonds, and all these like almond shells are falling down the tree, and it's like you look up there, there's a whole bunch of parrots, and they just, it just, when you see that, you're like, man, I'm used to seeing them in cages, and that's just so weird to see them so free and go, man. They seem a little bit more happy this way. I know the ones that you see in the cages were born into that kind of world and they're used to that, but it's pretty incredible to see it.
Maybe it was the cast of Rio.
Well, when you look, you know, when you look up and you see a bird with these wild colors, and I know Danny Miles from July Talk would love probably going down to Costa Rica, because you... Everywhere you look, he's a bird lover.
He's a birdman?
He takes pictures, beautiful pictures of birds on his Instagram all the time. You should follow Danny Miles there, and you'll learn a lot about birds. But I saw some crazy ones that I didn't know what the hell they were from the color and the way that they acted. But I did see a frigate seabird, those huge ones. Yeah, I think they're called, it must be a magnificent frigate, and it has a wingspan of like 7.5 feet.
Did he take a run at you?
No, just flying around above, just kind of coming down and crushing. Apparently they like to eat flying fish, so they go out into I guess where the waves start to develop, and go behind them and crush all the flying fish.
Did you snorkel or body surf or any of that stuff?
I went swimming. I didn't. I guess I did a bit of body surfing. I did a lot of beach walking. Like I said, that beach in Estorillos Este is where the house is, and the beach right there is so perfect to walk. And it's so big that there's always a great amount of space, that it's nice and flat. And there's always like a row of shells that you can look at, or a row of active kind of crab and you know, sea-dwelling creatures that live when the surf comes in and out. It's just so alive with all kinds of crabs and bugs and those little masks with the stick legs, you know, those things.
Oh, I love the masks.
Them sandpiper masks.
Yeah.
Just so many amazing. It's just the walks there are incredible, because you're going into the sunset at night right in front of you, and seeing it come up going the other way in the mornings. And it's always, because where it's located, 6 o'clock is dark. And it's like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, it starts getting light. And it's kind of like we're used to it here, getting, when it's that warm, to be light till like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock or something like that. But down there, it's like 6 o'clock, it's done. So you start to get tired around 7, 8, 9 o'clock, because it's been dark for so long. You've had dinner. It's really hot. You're going to get some shutdown time.
Bedtime.
Yeah.
Travel does two things for me. One is it makes the things that have kind of been hanging over you, and the problems that seem like such a big deal at home, somehow just the simple reminder that it's a great big world out there, and in the big picture, your problems are not that big a deal. And the second thing is, I find when you're away, you're like, I should eat more mango. I'm going to try some mango. And it's not even necessarily trying things that are indigenous to the place that you're going, but it's yeah. just like your senses are heightened and you're up for anything.
No, it's the best. And I like I said, we hadn't gone on any real vacations, especially outside of driving somewhere. So yeah. To have the kids just on that mode, and I was kind of fearing being that dad who's like always grumpy because everything's not going right, or their kids are arguing or worried about all of that stuff that could happen. And it was totally the opposite, where I had so many of those moments where like you're just sitting there and going, man, this is such a great creation of something to think about for the rest of your life.
It's the best. And especially because they're at the age where those are core memories. They will remember that trip. And no matter where we go and no matter for how long, our girls are always closer to us mm-hmm. and to each other when we come back.
Yeah, that whole, the thing of the family that plays together, stays together is a real true thing.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because you're out and you're, especially if you're in one room like how we were, it made it feel like it was like the 30s or something, where everybody was crammed into a small place, and but everybody just kind of got along better because you were closer and everybody was enjoying themselves.
Yep.
It was like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory styles. You know that one where everybody's like really literally yeah, in right. the beds with you?
Totally. Yeah, the grandparents and everything.
Yeah, for sure.
But that I love was me. That. I love that, that when me. We travel on the bus, it's our little world.
Yeah.
And it's a different set of rules, and like we just hang.
But there was a little bit of a downer in the middle of it. Annalise and Jack were burling around in the ocean, and some water got caught in their ears, and they both got ear infections, which right. sucked, because we had to go to the doctor and get antibiotics, and Annalise had just got off the other things, man. So we were a little bit worried that she was, you know, was going to be difficult, but she just kind of hung in there. She was sleeping a lot one day, and I'm like, man, she's sleeping a lot, and I listened to her heart, and it was like faster than John and Jack, so I felt, and then, man, I couldn't tell if she had a fever, because I couldn't find where the temperature thing was, and Lisa was going to be home soon, but I figured if her heart rate is high, then their fever must be going on, because apparently every degree of a fever going higher, your heart rate can go up 10 beats, especially if you're a kid. Yeah, so if your heart is beating really quickly, something you're fighting off something. It's no different than running away from something.
Well, I remember when we bought one of those super cheap portable what's it called when they listen to your stomach? Ultrasound machines. Just the audio one. And when Carol was pregnant with, must have been Shug, like I bought it from mm-hmm. Kijiji for $100, and you can kind of listen to the heartbeat, which if you're at all neurotic, it's probably a terrible thing to do because you can't always find the heartbeat and sometimes you can flip yourself out. Yeah. But a baby, like a fetus's heartbeat is like 160 beats per minute or something. It's bananas.
It's burling because it's just, it's probably just the whole creation trip is working the body big time. The other thing is like, so that the sickness and the ear infections were kind of staggered by a day. So it was like 4 days of sleepless nights for both the kids and us.
Right.
But because that's bad. The ear pain is terrible. You had to continually give them ear drops and then go between Advil and Tylenol every 3 hours because the fever was continual. Right. So you don't want to go on the same drug.
Plus, so then you ask the question, like, well, should we get on a plane if they have ear infections?
No, that's what the other thing. We had to kind of hope, and it was perfect. It ended up all the stuff was all gone. They had no ear issues by the time we were getting back on the planes. But there was another thing, a fear. The last night at 12 o'clock in San Jose, we stayed in San Jose the last night because we were flying out at 6 o'clock in the morning to Houston, and this was from Houston. We're in Houston hotel room because we were stayed 24 hours in Houston and flew the next day from Houston. So we were 12:30 at night in Houston, and all of a sudden John starts getting sick and throwing up. So we're like, oh my God, he's not starting to get an ear infection, is he? Because they were swimming in the pool at that hotel. But, I mean, we were just, you know, didn't think that it was going to happen again, because Jack and Anna were plugging their ears if they went under, and John never had an issue. But all of a sudden, he's like, I have water in my ear. And then 12:30 starts throwing up, but also he had about a box and a half of Gobstoppers because he was all fired up about American candy. So we're like in a gas station, and like they're going around looking at all the cool different candy.
Yeah, of course, like it's everything.
Like it's the craziest. So we buy like $17 of candy, and Lisa's at the cash register saying, "This place is awesome." And the lady behind the thing's like, "What? Really?"
Just a gas station. Because
it's a gas station, right? But the kids were so stoked.
All the different chocolate bars or candy bars.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I got to say this one story. When we were walking on the beach in Esterillos, Este, we're coming up to one of the most expensive resorts in you know, that area in Costa Rica. And on the beach, and I'm looking down, and there's these little blue jellyfish, like little masks, like the size of my thumb, with like legs coming out long or whatever.
They're what were jelly they? Little Michael bits. Caines.
Well, they're little blue jellyfish. And there's like one, and I look, and there's another one, and we're all kind of together walking, and I'm like, look, and everyone looks up ahead, and there's literally like hundreds of them, like within a foot apart. You had to like start watching where you're walking. Because they're, any jellyfish will sting you somewhat. So, and I have this horrible fear of jellyfish since I got stung last time I was in Costa Rica on the arm, but it was just a normal jellyfish. But anytime I see a small jellyfish, I think that's not a good sign because of those fucking box jellyfish, you know, those little tiny masks that like make you, your heart stop in the ocean.
I don't know about
they're them. Little anyway, they're little masks, and they're in like Australia and in that area, but anyway, they're small, and these things were blue, and they were kind of freaking me out, so I was like, just make sure you don't touch them at all or step on them, because they were still alive, because the surf had just come in. They were all kind of glistening, they weren't, you know, they were just sitting so small that any movement wasn't really visible to the eye. So I just said, don't step on them, and anyway, we took a couple pictures of them, and we went back down, and we ended up having some papas fritas at the Pelican, which is a little like 10 minutes down the beach, which
love
is
it.
A nice little classic, like where, I don't know, where Jack Kerouac or Hunter S. Thompson would stay if they Perfect. Went down there, one of those places. And papas fritas is just the French fries. Classic, right?
Papas fritos.
Yeah, so we're the waiter's there, and everybody's so sweet, and everyone's bod, and they're taking our order, and Lisa just says, "Hey, we were just down the beach, and we just don't know what this is. Can you tell me what kind of jellyfish this is?" And he's like, "I don't know how to say in English, but we say Medusa."
Medusas.
Medusa.
Right? Is it turning to stone?
Well, it's, yeah, I'm like, well, it can't be good if it's that, right? Like, he's like, yeah, he's like, very bad if you get stung by that. You don't want to touch one of those.
And there's hundreds of them.
Hundreds on the beach. And then, this is just in one little area. So we go back to the house, and we look up online, what the hell are these blue jellyfish, and from the pictures, and it's a fucking man of war.
Come
That's
on.
What they were. Yeah. Yes.
Girl. Yes. There was,
and I looked up Costa Rica and man of war jellyfish, and they say they're rarely in like that. They are once in a while, but then I saw this one post of a person said there was one day I was walking in Costa Rica and there was hundreds of them on the beach, and then the next day they were gone, and that's what happened. Like the next day I was walking, there was none. So it was just a one-off type thing right in front of one of the priciest resorts down there, just man of war all over the place. Little man of war masks.
So where did they go? They just peace out with the tide?
Yeah, they just came in and out with the tide. I guess it was just a fresh batch that just happened to get blown in there on the current, burling in and burling out. But
how come I'm out like the tide isn't an expression?
Isn't it?
It should be.
It is. Now it is.
Well, I'm glad you're home, bud, and I'm glad a man of war didn't get a hold of you.
Yeah, no kidding. But I bet you there were some Richie Rich Crunch 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 mafks getting stepping on man of wars,
oh, yeah,
right?
For sure.
Crunch Crunch Crunch, hey baby, make sure you come by my room at 7 o'clock.
In their swim trunks. Just gonna rinse off to get the sand off my. Ouch!
No, it's not an ouch. It's like getting shot yell, right? You gotta really let her have it.
Okay, here
hey,
we go.
Hey, baby. Hey, baby.
I'll be right with you. I'm just gonna slide into the ocean again.
No, it's long. It's gotta be more like, hey, baby, pass me that towel.
I wonder if they, like, gang up and, like, eight of them will take you down.
Oh, you're not. If you're in the water with them, it might be lights out if it's that many.
Yikers Island Penitentiary.
Yeah.
Take a break, bud.
Hey, bud.
Hey, Bernie.
Hey, Gord. How are you?
I'm flying with excitement. Check out this idea. You know how much people love my wildly popular, witty onstage banter, right?
Absolutely.
So what if I took all those jokes and stories and put it in a book called Fun Down, 40 Years of Hilarious Repartee?
That's a great idea, but think about it. The people that have been coming to your shows for years, I mean, they've heard those stories, Gord.
But what are you saying, Bernie? People love those stories. I always just crush it.
I'm saying you could maybe just spice them up a little bit. I mean, Humber College has a great program called the Humber Humor Writing Program. I mean, you could spice up your stories and you wouldn't even notice.
But Bernie, I'm a world-class superstar. I can't exactly slide into the back row of a classroom unnoticed.
That's the best part, Gord. You can do it right online.
On the what now?
Come here, I'll show you. Look, humbercomedy.ca. Look!
Well, I guess even Ferraris have to be tuned up once in a while.
Hello!
Props to Timbo for getting this thing cut, because Arkell's been in England with Frank Turner, right?
Yeah, they're crushing it, apparently. They're just stealing all their fans, because they're so good. And that's by account of Frank Turner himself, saying that he's so stoked that having them on the road because they're propelling them every night. You know, it's always good when you have an opening band that's threatening to kick your ass to get you ready to go, as opposed to like somebody, you know, being boring. Like, you want the crowd warmed up. That's when they're actually so fired up that like you're worried about it. You know, like when Jimi Hendrix was opening for the Monkees, his first tour. How about that? In America, and he like lasted 3 or 4 shows because he was just like the Monkees were getting like apples thrown at them because they were terrible in comparison.
Well, yeah, you have to assume it takes a confident band, but as we've said before, yeah. Frank Turner opens for them in Canada, so they obviously have a good thing going.
Well, it's when you're a good band and you feel like you're a good band, it's great when you have a good band opening because you want that. If you're not a great band and you're always worried about intimidation and not having self-confidence, you probably wouldn't want that.
Right.
But I think Frank's just loving it. That's a good trait of a good band, is having guys that want to have a great opener kicking their butt every night to get on there.
Well, I guess the equivalent is if you go on a TV show as a guest star, if the cast is confident and secure and you do okay, they're happy to have you. But it's also happened before that you go on a show and they're happy to have you at first, and then it's going so well, they're like, all right, well, off you go then.
That's right.
But it's good that Frank Turner is stoked to have them, and it's good that in almost every review from fans, they're like, man, it was great to see Frank. Our Kells are awesome.
Yeah, that's and they're coming back in the fall, which will be even better because people, when you see a band opening, they usually don't play that long.
But well, exactly.
Back, play for 90 minutes, eh?
Yeah.
90 minutes.
Yeah. So I was in Winnipeg when last we spoke for the Winnipeg Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did my televised gala, which was really nice. People were great. It was nice to see the CBC crew folks. And I'm going to tell you something. The Winnipeg Comedy Festival is run exquisitely. Everybody from the executive producers to the volunteers to the folks driving you places to the backstage personnel, everyone is just super world class.
Nice.
So that was really fun. And as I mentioned at the time, I was in town during the Jets winning those first two games. We now know that they won that series, which is bananas.
Yeah.
So on my way home, I flew right into the ice storm. And I had a kind of sneaking suspicion as I was packing my bag in Winnipeg. It was like, I left at 3 o'clock on Sunday. And I've never had this feeling when I was packing my bag before, which was, well, I'm never going to see this suitcase again, so I might as well not put much care into how I pack it, because there were wide reports of this ice storm just causing havoc.
So you're talking about flying into Halifax was bad, or Toronto?
Flying from Winnipeg to Halifax, but I had to go through Toronto.
Yeah.
And if I went through Boston, it was frozen. If I went through Montreal, same thing.
Yeah.
So Toronto, like, it was like I'm knowingly flying into a storm. So we're late, we're on the tarmac for a couple hours, we're postponed, it's not going, it is going. There's a ground delay in Toronto, we can go if we go right now, we missed the window, like that kind of thing. Whoa. And it's almost like if there was going to be an 8-hour delay, you would make one choice. But if there's an 8-hour delay in 15-minute increments,
mm-hmm.
you're like, well, okay, well, they said they're going to let us off, but they'll let us back on in half an hour, whatever.
And then you start thinking about the Lynyrd Skynyrd, Otis Redding styles.
Exactly.
That, you know what I mean? Like, maybe we should hold off here. How important is it that I got to get here?
Well, it does cross your mind.
Yeah.
But I had been, as you know, away prior to Winnipeg. I was pretty anxious to get home to see my people. So all that to say, landed in Toronto technically Monday morning at probably 2. Hadn't heard from the airline I was flying on about when my connection would be, but I knew that I missed it. So I just found a hotel room miraculously and went to stay there for a few hours, came back to the airport, was in line. It was like a 2-hour wait to get to the front of the WestJet. Oops, that's the airline. Get to the front of the line, the what can we do for you line. And the guy says, this is Monday morning at 6. He says, yep, you're on another flight. It's Tuesday at 11 a.m.
Let me
be very, 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 very clear. Henry, pipe down, bud. Oh, there's a truck on our road, and Henry's losing his mind.
That said, he's getting into things. He's going to take care of that for you.
I know. Oh, he got his hair cut today, and they put a scarf on him, and he's feeling all frisky.
Is his jacket? He's got to put the bomber
jacket
on.
He's full goose mode.
Just to take him right up.
He's in a danger zone. I know that weather is beyond the control of the airlines. I really do. And I also know, as someone who's traveled a fair bit, like you, things happen that are beyond your control. No problem.
Yeah.
What I don't dig is I finally get up to the front of the line. Been there a couple hours. I'm super calm. I've already accepted that whatever will happen will happen. And the guy says, we have you on a flight tomorrow at 11 in the morning. And I said, okay, so no seats to Halifax today? No, no seats at all. There are no seats. It's not that I'm choosing to not put you on a flight. There just simply aren't any. There were these women, 10 people behind me in line that I've been chatting to the whole time. They're from Cape Breton, and I love it. They said, we've worked out a plan. And I said, what's your plan? She said, one of us is going to cry, and the other one's going to plead our case. And I was like, come on. that's not going to work. Needless to say, after my flight tomorrow at 11, I go to Tim Hortons. I pass them. They're flaunting their boarding passes for a direct crying flight at 5 o'clock that day. That worked.
Crying guy?
Yeah.
You brought it out?
Yeah. I said, how did you do it? And they said, we told you our plan. I was going to cry and I was going to plead the case. And they did it and it worked.
Wow.
So the thing that drives me bananas is I have a real desire for things to be fair. And I know the world isn't sometimes. And I know there's all these, you know, fare restrictions and whatever. And maybe they paid more or maybe whatever. But yeah. There either are seats or there aren't. And when they say there aren't and then circle the wagons back and give seats to other people like this arbitrary thing, that's what drives me bananas.
That's, yeah.
So I pulled the chute and ended up buying a brand new ticket on another competing airline, major competing airline, and just went home that way.
Wow.
But again, lots of evidence around people with pets, people with babies, people in wheelchairs. It's not a problem. It's an inconvenience. And I think it was actually Louis C.K. who was like, people forget that they're sitting in a chair flying through the sky at 700 miles an hour. That's already pretty cool. But yeah. It does bother me when they have this weird priority system that you don't really get. So anyway, got home and was so happy to be home. And sometimes I like to take a project on when I get home. So we spent the last few days building an American Girl dollhouse. And my friend...
What does that mean? American Girl.
An American Girl is a kind of doll that's 18 inches high that the girls seem to be pretty into these days. And they wanted a dollhouse. So we took it on as a family. We designed it together. My friend Brian was doing some work in our garage barn, and his tools and saws and everything were here. Got a couple sheets of plywood, been cutting her up. Carol went to Michael's and got some wallpaper to put on each of the rooms in the dollhouse.
How big is it?
It is 6 feet high. Because they're 18 inches, so the rooms have to be quite a big size. It's 15 inches deep. Fit? The rooms are 2 feet square. I made some American Girl doll bunk beds and some modern-looking beds. Carol ordered a kitchen on the internet.
No way.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you something. I do some of my best thinking when my hands are occupied. It's like it frees up my brain to kind of process things. Nice. I love doing things that are outside my realm of comfort. Just feels good,
pretty
bud.
Pretty good. I like vacuuming.
That's a good thing to clear the head.
Yeah. I don't mind vacuuming. I don't... Laundry is too fast to enjoy.
Well, because you kind of have to concentrate on folding. Is that why?
But no. I'm saying it happens quickly. It's fired in, you're fired out. But I think any... This brings us to the biggest thing, which is I think the most valid thing is happiness doesn't find its place like on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Happiness lives in accomplishment, no matter big or small. You have to accomplish a goal to really be happy. That's my opinion of happiness, is like achieving something. Anything, whether that be running faster than your dad as a kid or, you know, inventing a new space shuttle.
Well, it's interesting you would say that, because of all the things I've accomplished this calendar year, like Winnipeg Comedy Festival, making these podcasts, doing our Audible book, this dollhouse has been extremely satisfying. And I think it's because it's a totally different set of skills in an area that I'm really not confident. And at every turn, I learned something new. Like, for example, if it's going to be 4 feet long, your middle piece can't be 4 feet because the sides will have to bow in order for it to fit. Stuff that makes sense as you figure it out. But for the first time,
How do you figure that out without someone telling you that?
You don't. You jam in the piece that's 4 feet and see that your sides are bowing when you go to screw them on and think, oh, I guess I need to shave an inch off that. And then of the saws that are here, for what do you use a table saw for? What do you use a jigsaw for? What do you use a handsaw for? Like, I am starting from scratch, and I think that's why it is totally satisfying.
I
made
love
little
it.
Shutters for the windows, made a little door with hinges. Yeah.
Is it outside or is it in the house?
It's in the garage right now, but the back, which I haven't put on yet, I'm going to put the shutters on today and the door, hopefully. But even like Jeremy Taggart, it sounds silly, but think about hinges. Do the hinges go, like for, if you've never done this, if you've done it, it's nothing. But if you've never done it, do the hinges go on the side of the door and the side of the door frame? Do they go on the actual house where the door opening is? Know what I mean?
Yeah, I would think inside is generally where they are, right?
Yes, but I'm looking at, I guess it depends. It depends if your door swings in or out. Depends if your door is bigger than the opening, which in my case it is. It's not flush.
Don't all front doors swing in?
You know what? I guess they do. Except our dollhouse is going to have a door that swings out. Because I don't know how to do in yet. Maybe next time I build one, it'll be an inner.
Oh, yeah. I broke a window in the front door of my old house and thought it would be easy to replace. Ah, no big deal. I'll just get another door.
Yeah.
It took me like 3 days. I gave up and had to have someone do it.
Oh, yeah. It's awful. But if you do it really for a living, you kind of get the hang of it.
Yeah. No, that's tough stuff right there, though, bud. But hey.
I'll tell you, I think I've said this before, Carol's dad knows so much about so much, but he doesn't know everything. And the big lesson that I've learned from him is not knowing how to do something doesn't stop him from trying.
And there you go.
That's very liberating.
I love that. And by the way, you mentioned the Audible book, the fact that it's out now.
Yeah.
People can get Canadianity at Audible. Is it just go to audible.com and buy it?
Have you bought it?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I haven't yet.
I haven't bought it either. What do they want for it?
Well, I just don't know if I want to hear myself tell myself a story. You know what I mean?
About yourself? Yeah, it's a little self-indulgent.
Yeah, imagine just sitting back and listening to myself talk about myself.
Well, I wouldn't mind listening to you talk about things.
Oh, I know. I'll get it. Just to listen to you talk about your life.
By the way, I don't even know. Does it have chapters? Can I skip over me to get to you?
I think you can whirl and burl anywhere you want at ease.
Here's the other thing that has come up in the last couple of weeks. As we suspected, people really enjoyed Bigger Bird.
Yeah, they did.
And they liked the Giants of Appliance, too.
And they liked Crying Guy.
Noticed a couple of requests for some old school, like you guys should do Hit the Post, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
This was also something that occurred to me we could do for our 150th episode. We could do all request show.
Oh, that's an idea.
I can tell you're underwhelmed.
I'll request. When I'm thinking 150, I'm thinking it's going to be probably somewhere like a Bodhouse situation. So right. It's like that, once we're there, kind of that's a whole thing, right?
Maybe we'll take requests from the people at the Bodhouse if that's what we do.
No, we could definitely take requests for the games in the episode. Maybe it'll be an extra long episode.
Who knows? It's going to time out that we're in Ontario, won't it?
Yeah, it will. It'll be like right at the end of our tour. So in the perfect timing.
Crazy alert.
Who knows? So I think we should probably put the feelers out now for where are we going to have our 150th episode?
Yikes.
We have to have it together. So where are we going?
I don't know. All I can think is I want to go back to Andrew Axsize.
Yeah, I know. I saw him on Twitter when he was watching the game, the Leafs game, which game 7, which we lost. And now that Toronto's relying on the Raptors, which is fantastic. And TFC lost the big game against the Chivas.
I'll tell you, I was flipping back and forth between the Raps and the Leafs last night, and Raptors basketball is very exciting. Henry,
sure it is.
Hold your bird, bud. It's very exciting. And it's fast.
It is. It's super fast.
Basketball.
I think this is a this team is going to take it up a notch this year. I don't know if they're going to win it, but I think that it would be fa- you imagine if they got to the final? It
would be amazing.
That would be super. That would be like Gino Vannelli horny in 1975's horny.
There is so much to talk about around sport, and I know this isn't a sports podcast by any means, but for example, as you know, I'm not a Leafs fan, but last night I was like, you know what, Canadianity, have a bunch of friends who are Leafs fans, I'm going to cheer for the Leafs.
Hey,
As someone kind of semi-objective, I can say Jake Gardner was awful. He was awful.
And even him himself realized that.
Well, that's my question.
It happens.
As an athlete on a high-profile team, on a high-profile city, deserves the wrong word, is it fair for him to get ripped apart to the degree that he did? Or is it like, well, yeah, he had a bad game, cut the guy some slack?
No, I saw a couple stats that were like off, like he was -5 on the ice. And apparently he tried to do like 12 like long passes, yeah, and 7 of them failed, and 2 of those came back as goals. So right. a lot of the problems kind of started and stopped with him. And Anderson wasn't great, but if you also look, there was way more shots by Boston compared to Toronto. So you can also blame everybody offensively on the Leafs, including Austin Matthews. You know, should have been a little bit more pucks at the net, as it were.
I also know this, though. Realistically, they made the playoffs. That's good. That's baby steps. Went to game 7. That's good, too. The future looks pretty bright. But realistically, sure, if they made it past Boston, the road wasn't going to get easier.
No, honestly, there was no real, once they're in the playoffs this year, and that comeback that they made in to make it to a game 7 was success enough to realize, because the better team won, it could clearly, at the end of it. So
Now Boston, I'm torn. I can't decide if I want to go all in on the Jets for the Canadianity angle, or if I'm all in on the Preds, because that's who I think is going to win.
I'm already all in on the Jets.
Are you?
It already happened, just for Burton Cummings alone.
And just for that bud who gave us the jerseys at the Winnipeg show with our names on them.
Yeah, I got the jersey. I might as well throw it on. And Liney there is going to get to, he's going further in the playoffs than all these other kids.
Hey!
How about that? Hey?
See, when I say hey, Henry will bark because he thinks someone's at the door. Watch this, I'll knock and he'll bark.
Yeah, for sure.
It's the only trick he can do.
Can you do the hey again? Does that work?
I have to wait for him to calm down and then I'll do it. Henry, pipe down, bud. Once he doesn't bark for 2 seconds. Okay, ready?
It's not going to happen.
Hey! Yeah, okay, there it is. Take a break, bud.
That's how you say hi to people at the house.
This episode of Tekken Times is brought to you in part by Chipotle. Chipotle, chips and quick, tacos, and enchiladas. We'll be right back.
Here it comes. Hey, Tube? Is that YouTube?
Yeah, man. Hop in the RX-8, bro. I just got it out of storage. First nice sunny day. Get some PSB going.
Woo! Sure, nice.
How good does it feel to just like be in a tank top and just like ripping around in the RX-8?
It's pretty nice, man.
It's an 07, but can you not set your latte down in the cup holder?
Where am I supposed to put it, man?
Sorry, this is my favorite part of the song. I'm just going to turn it up a little bit.
Okay.
What is this? You know what I mean? Like when the beat pumps in like that? Anyways, I just thought we'd like take a trip to the mall maybe, have a look around, see what's going on, maybe stop at KFC.
Sounds good, man.
Do you want to go to, I was thinking maybe we'd go to Jungle Jim's Eatery for dinner because they have like chicken fingers shaped like animals.
Yeah.
And, you know, they give you gifts and stuff when you get a dinner there. And then they have, like, Shirley Temples and stuff. Because I can't get banged up because I'm driving the RX-8. But, I mean, you could have one drink as long as you finished it before we got back in the car.
And we could check out the new tank tops?
I don't know about that, man.
But there's this like place that's got this new hair product.
Yeah, the parking there is a little dicey, and I noticed there were serious potholes there.
We need some bath bombs for the ladies, though.
You know what we could do is I could park uptown, and we could take an Uber to the tank top store. I'm not crazy about driving the RX-8. It's an 07, but it looks new. I'm just not crazy about driving it in there, you know?
Hey, hang on. Wait, I got to make the face for this girl. Yeah.
Bro, I don't know if she's feeling you, bro. I don't even know if she looked at you because she was looking at the car so bad. That's the one downside about having an RX-8 and 07.
Go around again.
Nobody even notices me, bro. No, like, my eyes are up here.
Go around the corner, man. Do it again.
Are we lapping it?
Yeah, man. I'm feeling this one. All right, okay, here we come again, right?
Yeah, but you got the Pet Shop Boys going in this car, man. No, nobody's looking at us.
Don't say anything, man. Look at... Okay.
That's a dude.
Oh.
That's a dude. Wait a sec, that's a mailbox. That's not even a dude.
Hey, man. Quit wrecking my scene, man.
Bro, that's the thing about the RX-8, though, because the windows are so tinted, you can't even see in. And sometimes when you're looking out, stuff looks blurry and stuff. But it's tough.
Here, pull over. I don't feel good. Good.
Well, maybe you shouldn't be drinking a milkshake, right? Just because it's the first nice sunny day? Who takes a milkshake and a latte in a guy's car that just came out of storage? Especially in RX-8. Especially in 07.
There it is. It's our first summertime feeling day jams. We haven't named it yet.
My best friend growing up in PEI, grew up across the street from me, Mark Howlett, was my best, like my ride or die homie, had a Nissan... something like a two-seater kind of sports car T-roof kind of thing.
Something you put away for the winter.
And it was tough. And he would have Chow Edie by The Cult
on repeat
when we'd rip around downtown Charlottetown. And it was the only time I've ever been part of like, oh, we're doing this. All right.
That's the one when Billy Duffy goes from the stand-up acoustic to the electric.
The wings right? Of the VDD. That one?
Yeah.
And it was the only time my fillings rattled, because I don't know what he had in it for stereo, but it was like, it was like the Brad Roberts 6000.
I remember a guy, I was with a friend of mine, Carlo, and his buddy was driving, and they were both metal guys. and like huge hair metal guys, leather jackets. And it was like the Camaro.
Amazing.
His Camaro. And they're both playing, they play Don't Stop Believing like six times in a row. and then they played... Youth Gone Wild by Skid Row like 10 times.
I'm going to tell you something. We haven't given enough love on the show to the metal guys. I love the metal dudes.
The headbangers.
And even more so, I love the metal chicks.
Oh,
because they weren't putting on airs. They weren't trying to be anything they weren't. Like the D. Snyder fan club at Fairview Junior High. Those are my people.
Do you want to do some bangers?
Sure. Can I ask you something?
What?
Is Def Leppard metal?
Total. Well, I mean, their fans, like anything that was rock-based from 1983, 4 to 1989, that
right,
was
so
it.
Right, so Poison is metal?
Oh, well, no, but that scene, right? Like, it's pop.
But... I know, but that's the weird thing. Cherry Pie by Warrant is not a metal song.
Well, it is in terms of where you put it in the record store. You know, to me... Real metal is like Black Sabbath and Soundgarden.
But, right. But at the time, I would have said Warrant was metal.
Yeah, well, it's glam metal. That's what they called it.
Right.
And they were fine with calling it that.
So was Motley Crue glam metal or metal?
Well, because it was like, they thought they were Queen because they, you know, were... more wearing hairdos and looking wearing makeup and stuff like that.
So, but the question is like
the David Bowie glam period, right? So that was kind of why they started wearing the makeup, but they weren't nearly as cool as those bands. So they ended up, it just mostly was just cheesy rock schlock with like really poorly recorded and probably spent millions on recording. Most of it is really bad.
Like, but if you listen to Shout at the Devil,
I think Motley Crue is a good metal band, though. They're legitimate.
Yeah, but if you saw a picture of them, you'd think they were glam metal.
Well, I think that's a lot of bands copied them, too, thinking because they did it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we're Motley Crue. It's okay. But they're not.
Right.
Because Motley Crue were kind of like no different than like a Rolling Stones or Guns N' Roses, and who are another like real metal band that were like crazy. Like, those guys were nuts. They lived on the Sunset Strip.
Oh, if you haven't read The Dirt.
Yeah, they were all crazy. Like, they were partying. They were trying to relive the whole Zeppelin at the Hyatt, you know, that whole 70s craziness.
Right.
But anyway.
The Dirt is a great book. And by the way, when I started taking guitar lessons, I remember my teacher saying there's no such thing as too many trills because they're nice little accents.
Yeah.
And Chowiti proves all otherwise. There's too many trills.
Have you seen pictures of him lately, the Cult?
No.
And my bod, John Tempesta, who's a drummer in that band, who's one of the sweetest guys ever. But it's like since that Disaster Artist movie came out, that's kind of what he looks if he's like wearing shades. The Tommy guy? Tommy
My favorite Weisel. Part about PEI, by the way, is that everyone pronounced it C-O-L-T. Do you just like the Colt?
That Ian Astbury is like hardcore into he's an odd bird.
The Odd Birds is a good name for a band, by the way.
He was like wearing costumes and stuff like crazy. He was into like military clothing. He had like a huge collection of that stuff.
I have to confess something. I finished The Dollhouse and Carol ordered a kitchen and a pull-out couch for it. So it arrived today and the girls are downstairs putting the stuff in. So I am upstairs. This is a day after we did segment two. I'm upstairs in our guest room and I chose to sit on a beanbag chair. And every time I kind of flex or something, it makes a noise. So I'm trying to stay so still that it's affecting my breathing. There you go.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to have Tim going,
What is that noise? Here, I'll do one so everyone knows what the sound is like. See what I'm saying?
I don't even hear it.
Well, Tim will.
But here we got another jam going.
First Nice Day Jams.
Hey, Gary.
Yeah?
What the hell are you doing in those shorts at work? It's an office.
Have you looked at the calendar lately? Summer's a state of mind, bud.
Summer's a state of mind, but we're at work here. This is a business. Look, everyone's in suits. I'm in a suit. Cheryl's in a suit. Bob's in a suit.
I thought we were doing casual Mondays around here to raise money for the thing.
Go home and put on some pants.
What? I'm not going all the way home. I
come on, you can't work like this. Come on. Go put on some pants or something.
I'm going to tell you something. If my work is affected in any way because I'm not wearing long pants, then
Marshall,
I have bigger problems.
Hey, Marshall, Terry, he's wearing nothing but shorts.
Nigel, Terry, I'm glad he asked you. Come here for a second.
That's right, and Nigel here.
He says, nice of you to announce yourself into the conversation. He says, because I'm wearing shorts, I can't get my work done. Agree or disagree?
You can't wear those in here.
Oh, because I'm wearing short pants. You don't think I'll get any work done?
Yeah, man, you gotta get a suit on. Get out of here. Told you guys.
This is, you know what? This is crazy.
Put on some suit.
Maybe we'd get more work done around here if you guys would pay attention to the seasons. It's a summer day out there. We've waited for this since November, and you idiots are wearing suits. It's because you're soulless and you're dead inside. So I will leave. I will go get pants on the one condition that I will never come back.
Don't let the door hit you on the bum.
Cargo shorted bum.
Wearing shorts.
There are dudes that wear shorts all winter.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to kind of judge their journey, except I have a friend who wears shorts all winter, and he has a very valid reason why.
Really?
Yeah, he was in the military and got told what to do for so long that when he got out of the military, he's like, I'm going to do whatever I want because no one's going to ever tell me what to do again. So I'm going to wear shorts. That's his little protest.
I like that. That's cold, though, sometimes.
And I like it, too.
Okay, I'm going to
do...
next?
Let's do a patio.
Okay.
I'm going to be laugh trigger guy out on the patio. It's not quite warm enough to be on the patio, and you're the server who's like, ah, why is this guy sitting on the patio? It's not quite warm enough.
All right.
Okay.
Perfect. And here's the jam playing on
first
the patio.
First nice summer day jam.
Or no, it's playing inside, and you want it outside, played outside.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Okay. Hello, sir. Can I help you?
Yeah, it's, by my watch, it's spring, because I sprung out of bed this morning. So...
Would you like to come in for a table?
Almost like you could tell by looking at me that I was parched. It's noon o'clock somewhere.
We haven't really set anything up out here.
Well, I'll tell you what I was hoping is that you could get some of that sunshine summertime music playing outside. So I have had at least some company, a song to sit with me.
Well, you can if you want, but... okay. Nobody's gonna really open it or anything. There's no heaters on. It's kind of cold out here.
Oh, do I have goose flesh? Do I look like a goose? Skin me. I just like to have a drink in the sunshine, if that's okay with you. Unless you're not selling alcohol here at this bar. Are you?
What can I get you?
Wasted. Keep them coming. I'm trying to drown out my very real sad feelings.
Here, let me get the music up for you.
That would be great. Thank you. Now we're talking. Should have started here.
You want a beer?
I'd like two, please.
Here you go.
Thank you so much. Oh, can I have two more? Thanks.
Okay.
Don't want these two beers getting lonely.
Here you go.
Oh, take care now. Is that Sue Studio?
It's not cold enough.
Oh, I was feeling so happy for Laugh Trigger Guy, and then I felt so sad to imagine walking by and seeing a guy with four beers by himself on a patio and Sue Studio's blasting, and it's not quite warm enough.
He's like, I don't care. It's summer for me.
Summer in my head.
Oh, man, he was on fire.
Summer inside, summer out.
What can I get you wasted?
Well, we have to do a cottage, open up the cottage
remember,
one.
Yeah, remember the original feeling of spring was the clearing out the cottage.
Yep.
So let's do a cottage, yeah. And, okay, I got the jam right here.
Why are you always playing this stuff?
Well, because I believe in rituals, and I believe in ceremony. And when we open up the cottage, this is the song that we play every year.
These guys, I remember this when I was a baby, you played this.
I will urge you to respect the tradition of opening up the cottage and the soundtrack that comes with it.
It's a Tiffany's one?
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Anyway.
I suspect you don't remember why we play this song.
No, I don't.
Me neither, but I just remember that we do.
Let me help you with this boxes.
It's time to put the plates back out on the hutch.
I got a broom!
It's a combination of feelings. The feeling in my heart of being in this place with the smells I associate with it that trigger memories. All of this is the soundtrack of this song.
Why does it smell so bad in here, Dad?
Oh, my goodness.
It's terrible. Oh!
Son, look over here on the couch. Is that your grandmother? Oh, my gosh. We forgot your grandmother here in the fall.
Nana!
She's gray.
Dad!
Hang on a sec. That's just a dust bunny.
No, it's Nana stinking! You did it!
It, your grandmother, J.R. Logan, may she rest in pieces.
You forgot her! You forgot Nan!
I distinctly remember saying to your mother, you bring Nan when you come back to the city. And that's on your mother, wherever she is now.
What are we gonna do, Dad?
Well, I suspect we should call your mother and find a way to blame her.
No, about the body.
That's what I mean. Is your mother with Steven this weekend?
There's police coming the driveway.
Oh, here we go. There's a lot to unpack there, too.
What do you do there? Like, oh, here we go.
Oh, here we go. Oh, great. From bad to worse. Zero sympathy. RJ Logan, that was it. I called her JR Logan.
I know, but I thought it was like you changed the name just because it's the woman.
Because it was a lady. I always remember when the first nice days happened in PEI, we would play street hockey. Couldn't wait to get out there. But then there's always like, it's so cold when the sun starts to go down. Yeah. You know those days that get up to 20 in the day and then suddenly it's like 2 degrees? And you're sweating from playing in the sun, and then all of a sudden your sweat becomes sweatsicles.
Yeah, how about we do a outdoor car wash?
And it's not quite warm enough yet?
Yeah, like when you're wet, it's very cold, that style.
Oh, okay, perfect.
You have to get out of the car.
But they need to make money, so they're staying open. So I work at the car wash, and you're pulling up in a car?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is the jam that you guys are playing?
Yes.
Okay.
How's it going, bud? Want to wash a car?
You guys, what are you doing out here?
Oh, just trying to, you know, pay some bills, get the car washed.
I was just going to use the indoor one. What the hell?
No, let us give you a break, because we're doing a quick promotion. What wash cars for only $5, and we're only open for another 3 hours.
Okay, hurry up.
Do you like this Kenny Chesney song?
Kenny Chesney? Chesney? Yeah, I know this one. I love this song.
And when we listen to it, we all like to pretend we're on the beach in Mexico. Just gonna give you a quick spray down. You're welcome to stay in your car with the heat on, or you can step outside with us where it's also a little colder.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay in here. I'm gonna close this damn window too.
Do you mind if I just sit in your car for just a 10?
No way, you're all wet, spongy.
So, yep, I'm just gonna give it a quick spray and then a quick wash. There you go. You're all done, sir.
Nice.
$5, please.
There you go. Here you go.
I can make change for you.
Just keep
please
change.
Please let me come inside your car.
No, so I gotta go.
Please let me get some change. Please let me come.
Oh, freezing cold on the side of the road.
Poor freezing Mavk. By the way, there is not a huge gully between my performance on Degrassi as Emma's dad and my performance as cold guy at the car wash.
Hey, we have to say rest in peace to Lil Bud Vern Troyer.
I know, VT.
Just because it was an oddly timed thing with the Amazing Race thing, and it's kind of upsetting that that he passed away. And
I'm going to tell you something. It's weird timing that we started doing the Mark Knopfler show. Knopfler got admitted to the Hall of Fame, and there was all that thing.
Yeah.
We decided that Vern Troyer 2 weeks ago would be the best partner on Amazing Race, and suddenly he slips away.
Yeah, so coincidence.
He's a tiny little mouth.
Unfortunate.
Great big sky.
Oh my God!
It was supposed to be touching. No way. I actually recorded before he passed. I recorded Mark Knopfler singing "Tiny Little Mouth in the Great Big World." Good job, bud.
All right, bye.